Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
Matt Smith in for Zach Bye, Phil Lindsay alongside, as always, Phil's a grinder. Doesn't miss days, not like his partner. That's got a very, you know, that guitar riff has a very Lenny Kravitz feel to it, doesn't it? Did you see that video of Lenny the other day, by the way?
No.
did you guys see that video of Lenny Kravitz the other day? He's working out. He's doing, I think it's like incline bench. I think that's what he's doing. But he's wearing leather pants and like some sort of mesh tank top as if he just got off stage. Now he's going to bust out a couple of reps at the gym. I couldn't tell if it was a bit. Did we figure out? Is it a bit?
I didn't know. That's just Lenny. Does he do anything not
in leather pants? I'm just curious. Does the man own any other pants?
Doubtful. I mean,
he's doing incline bench. Is he hot?
Like, is he hot? Leather pants sweating?
Of course. It's leather pants. You ever see that episode of Friends where Ross buys the leather pants? That is an iconic episode of Friends right there.
Wait, how does one do, like, squats in leather pants?
That's what I want to know.
The leather pants, no belt. They looked a little loose, so maybe, you know, a little room for them to shrink, I imagine, with the heat. And then you just figure that the sweat acts as, like, some sort of natural lubricant, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You get a kick out of that one, did you? Yeah. All right. Well, that's my Lenny breakdown. So Lenny's still rocking it, still kicking it. Looks great, you know, working out in leather pants. I can't say that I feel the need to do that or that would have ever crossed my mind to do, but
The need for speed.
Oh, don't get me started now.
All right.
I already went down the Lenny Kravitz rabbit hole. Don't get me started on the Tom Cruise rabbit hole. All right. I do want to talk about the fact that, first of all, Denver's title town, USA.
Yeah.
We've known this. We've accepted it. The Avalanche won that year in 22. The Pios also won that year in 22.
Yes.
And then Denver East won the National Hockey Championship that year. And then, you know, the Nuggets, we had to take a break because we hogged too many titles in 22.
It's only right to let somebody else hold the title at times.
I mean, it's just considerate, you know?
Yeah.
So we let everybody else, you know, it's all right. You can, Vegas, you can have a Stanley Cup, whatever.
We'll let you borrow it.
But we took home the NBA Finals trophy, the Larry O'Brien. Couldn't, you know, I'm from around the way. I'm leaving with something. And now this year, we've got a chance here to not only maybe repeat as NBA champs.
Yeah.
Maybe take home another cup. But also another national championship, because the DU Pioneers yesterday, they punched their ticket, man. They were headed to the Frozen Four. It was a gauntlet of a Frozen Four. You had Denver against Boston, BU, and BU's got a couple of really good players.
Yes, the number one, right? Is he the number one hockey player?
Macklin Celebrini. He should be the number one overall pick in the draft this upcoming year. Well, they beat him yesterday after getting outplayed pretty hard in the first period. I texted a buddy after watching that first period. I go, uh-oh. You know, DU's down 1-0.
Yeah.
Probably should have been 2-0. I thought BU really dominated. What were the shots, Drew? Like 10-3?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they really
got
outplayed.
They spent the entire first period in DU's zone.
Oh, they did. They were just on their heels. And even David Carl, you know, between the benches during the first period was like, hey, we got to find some sort of way to get on our toes in this game.
Sure.
Getting hemmed in our own end. Well, slowly but surely, they stuck to their structure. The one thing about DU, they probably are the best defensive team in the Frozen Four. They got some really good defensemen, including a kid in remind me the
Sean
name.
Sean Behrens?
No, not Behrens. Behrens is an Avs prospect.
Bouillum.
Yeah. Zeev Bouillum and his brother, Shai Bouillum. These two kids, I mean, can they ever play defense? Zeev is probably going to be a top 7 pick in the NHL draft here coming up. They kind of led the charge, man. Slowly but surely, they just grinded out a win. Their third consecutive 2-1 elimination game win.
Man, the OT. I know they were tired.
Oh, yeah, they were tired. And they won in overtime.
Well, tell me about the goalie. The goalie, I like the goalie.
Matt Davis.
Both goalies were phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a two-T Matt. You can't really trust those two-T Matts, except for Matt Davis, who might be the best player of the entire tournament. I think he's made 106 saves on 109 shots, only letting in 3 goals. I mean, you win 3 consecutive 2-1 hockey games. I mean, come on now. So, yeah, so DU, they end up beating BU, which great to see, obviously. We love that for the Pios. We're going to be rooting like crazy for them tomorrow afternoon.
I was hoping that they were going to play Michigan, Matt.
Yeah, why is that?
You know, because both of them have something, you know, that was in state. was if whoever won a title, right, took home how many, Drew?
Oh, you're talking about the first to 10.
First to 10 national titles.
How cool would that have been with both of them? We're battling with each other.
That'd be cool. You know? Although, I got to be honest, I'm kind of looking forward to this matchup tomorrow. Okay. Michigan got smoked, and it wasn't even close by Boston College last night. And I know college hockey, yada, yada, but it is important to note. I mean, this Boston College team, they got some serious talent. I mean, they had two players who were nominated. Wasn't it two guys? No, they only had one guy nominated for the Hobie Baker, which essentially is college hockey's version of the Heisman, essentially. So they got this kid, Will Smith. They got Ryan Leonard. They got Cutter Gauthier, who's the leading scorer in the country this year, over 37 goals. This is going to be a tough matchup tomorrow night. I don't know if you can get it done, but I'm going to be pulling for the Pios like crazy, man.
That goalie's going to have to come up big. And the defense, like you said, Matt, they're going to have to play really good hockey, man, if they're going to beat Boston College.
But I'll be looking forward to it. I remember being down there, you know, at the city center, at the Capitol for the Avs Cup Parade. And the Avalanche did a really cool thing where they invited the entire DU program to come be up by the stage with them. Yeah. And Denver East was there because they both won it that year. I thought that was really cool. So hopefully we can all have those vibes again here in a couple of months. It's looking like it, man.
It looks like we're all on an identical
trajectory.
Way of doing things. I mean, I was just sitting here thinking, man, I'm like, yo, Nathan MacKinnon solidified his MVP versus the Wild in Ball Arena the next day.
You know, there are people out there that are still trying to say he's not the MVP. These loser Lightning fans. The sensitive Lightning fan.
How is Nathan MacKinnon not the MVP? Like, what more does this man need to do?
To every Lightning fan that's listening out there, let me just say, I don't know if you guys understand this. Nikita Kucherov, who Nathan MacKinnon is competing with, obviously.
He's great.
We saw him in the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago. You know, and Drew, correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw this. Nikita Kucherov just set an NHL record for empty net points. Okay? So as far as, like, the Art Ross trophy, MacKinnon's not getting cheapies on the empty net.
Yeah.
Kucherov's the empty net merchant. That's who the empty net merchant is.
And Nathan MacKinnon has even went out there on a limb and said, hey, some of my shots were the empty netters. I've had chances of having empty netters. He was at least able to say that.
All right, we got to take a pause in the hockey. We'll get back to it, though, because on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline right now, friend of the show, our good buddy, our Broncos 9 News insider, Mike Kliss. Mike Kliss joins us now. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Living it. I mean, it's 80 degrees on a Friday, Mike. I mean, does it get any better than this? You got to be out in a patio in Golden somewhere, right?
I am. I'm on my front porch.
There you go.
This corner is the front porch at home.
I love it.
Best day yet.
Best day yet. No kidding. Hey, a little all quiet on the Western Front over at Dove Valley, huh? It feels like compared to the last couple of years, especially considering the draft position, they really haven't let a ton out of the building. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows where they're at with the number 12 pick, where they're at on their roster and their team. They need to find a quarterback at some point here. Going on, 9 years since Peyton retired?
Is that all?
Still looking. Mm. And put that real big investment into Russell Wilson, and that didn't work out. And so here they are again. I know if everything goes well for them, they'll wind up with a quarterback in the first round on Thursday, April 25th.
Okay.
But I don't know if that means sitting still at number 12 and letting the draft come to them. If they got to trade up three or four spots, I don't think they're going up to number 4 to, get Drake May or get J.J. McCarthy. I might be wrong about that. It just doesn't seem like that's the wise move for them, given, what this team has already given up in the last couple of years for draft picks. So, we'll see what they do with number 12. They'd like to have a quarterback there. I just don't know if it's J.J. McCarthy that they like, or if it's Bo Nix that they like, or Michael Penix, or they hope that Drake May falls. I think Jaden Daniels is a real long shot possibility, but it seems to me like it's centered around McCarthy if somehow he gets within a striking distance and Bo Nix.
Well, Mike, we all know the quarterback position is the most important part. But throughout the draft, usually some trades go down. You have Garrett Bowles that has still not got the extension done. Is Garrett one of these trade baits that may happen during the draft?
You know, I don't think so. A guy like Garrett Bowles and for trade, something like that, you know, first of all, you would have to take a left tackle with that number 12 pick for Garrett Bowles to be, expendable. And I don't think they are going to go offensive tackle with that number 12 pick. I think they are going to go quarterback or parlay it somehow, you know, whether it's moving up or moving back, but somewhere around that number 12 pick, I think they're going to wind up with a quarterback. And so, you know, with Garrett, no extension with them. I think he could be in line for an extension as the season goes along, the way the Broncos are going. Remember, they're still fighting cap issues, you know, because of the Russ deal, and all the moves they've made this offseason reflect that. So they're not going to be, it doesn't seem to me like they're going to be doing any extensions. Mm. Maybe Pat Surtain, at some point during the season, he would be the number one guy in line. But, I just don't think they're going to be throwing money around to re-sign their own guys. And then we'll see. Right now, it seems to me like the Broncos want Garrett Bowles to play out this year and then make the decision as the season goes along whether to, sign him up again long term.
So Mike and Mike Kliss of 9 News is our guest. Mike, you just mentioned that if all goes well, the Broncos find a way to come away with quarterback in the first round. And you're telling us that, assumedly, they're not going to move up and leverage all that value. So it sounds like Bo Nix. I mean, unless I'm reading things wrong. Yeah.
Well, you can infer that. They're not going up to number 4 is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And now they might go to 7. You know, 7's another sweet spot because that's Tennessee. The Chargers aren't going to trade with the Broncos at number 5. Is it the Giants at 6? The Giants, might make their own their own move there, but 7 would be about as far as they go, maybe 9 to the Bears. I think they can get to 9 with the Bears, which would jump them ahead of the Vikings.
Sure.
Which is now the Vikings can move up too.
Right. Assuming they stay in place, right? Yeah.
But if they stay at number 11, maybe the Broncos want to jump the Vikings. And JJ McCarthy is still on the board and JJ's their guy or Bo Nix is their guy. I can see that type of move, but not one that would require a first-round pick to move up.
So essentially what you're saying is that if Drake May or J.J. McCarthy were to slide a little bit and the price, it didn't cost you both arms and both legs, maybe you only had to give up one arm, then maybe that situation where Sean would be looking to move up if for some reason J.J. got past 6.
Yeah, I mean, all those options they're discussing all those options. I'm not saying they're dead set on this is what they're going to do. I don't think they're there yet. There's still a couple weeks to the draft. I think where are we? 13 days from day one of the draft.
Yep.
So, I think it's going to start heating up about the middle of next week.
Hmm.
As far as moving around on the draft board, it would be best for the Broncos, I think, given them is to not give up too much in moving up, because quarterback isn't the only place where they have needs. Whoever they wind up with at quarterback, the wise guys in Vegas have them at 5.5 wins over and under.
Yeah.
That suggests that there's problems. They have talent issues in a lot more areas than just quarterback.
All right, so the Broncos, Mike, have also brought in a bunch of other guys for top 30 visits and such. I'm curious, typically they kind of like to keep that stuff under wraps, but is there any takeaways that you've had maybe from the positions that they've brought in that they're talking to?
Well, the top 30 visits are the reasons for them. The 30 guys they bring in, I would say 10 of them, so a third, are guys that may not get drafted, and you're trying to recruit as for undrafted guys, you know, to get guys like Jaleel McLaughlin.
Sure.
That they did last year. It does seem like there's a lot of late-round guys that have been coming in, and they've had a lot of local visits, you know, with Dallin Hulkler, the tight end from CSU. Luke McCaffrey was in yesterday. So they've had a lot of local guys come in. Rosengarten was in earlier this week.
Yeah, Valor.
The offensive tackle from Washington. So, yeah, it's been an impressive group of local players that have come through Dove Valley this so far. Then I know there's been some guys that they're hoping to recruit, you know. Philip, did you take a formal visit with because you were an undrafted guy that the Broncos had to out-recruit, I think, one or two other teams to wind up here.
You know, what I did, I didn't take a formal, but I had to do their pro day. And then I think after that, we sat down for a long time and talked. But I don't think we took a formal after that. So
I see. Yeah.
They already knew, though, Mike. They took one look at him and were like, this is our guy. This is our guy.
We're going to go undrafted.
Mr. Colorado. No need to see it again.
Yeah. You know, I was at Phil's pro day, and I'm trying to remember who was there for the Broncos. But
I think it was Elway, Vance, Matt.
And, Vance Joseph, he was there, Russell.
Matt Russell and Elway. All three.
Elway was there. That's right. That's right. Yep. Yeah, there was and you know, we were I think Mike McCarthy, your agent was there.
Yep.
And so it was a big deal because they were after Kirk Cousins or Kirk Cousins then.
They wanted Kirk.
You
know, they did.
Yeah. And they wound up with Case Keenum instead. But, you know, and then Michael Penix was in. And Penix, I would think the big thing there, besides the, you know, besides the chance of taking him as a quarterback and, you know, doing all your research there and evaluation there, you wanted to take a look at his physical for yourself. You wanted to get your own doctors on there because there was a lot there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, he's been clean the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But there's a lot there from year one to four in his six-year NFL career. So, I don't know these visits. And sometimes, a lot of times these visits, you know you're not going to draft these guys, but you want to get to know them. You want to get a better feel for them for a year or two down the road for trading deadline purposes.
Just like Jarrett Stidham, right, Mike?
What's that?
Just like Jarrett Stidham. Sean Payton loved him coming out of the draft.
All these guys pretty much become available in 4 years. I mean, you really do kind of, in many cases, you develop these guys, and just as they start getting good, you make them good for someone else. Exactly. You know, I remember how it was just disappointing the way the system worked with Malik Jackson, who was sensational for the Broncos. He didn't play much of rookie year, came on a little bit his second year, fell back his third year, and then came on and had a real good fourth year. And then he hit the market and hit big money. Lloyd Cushenberry, the same thing. You know, Lloyd was a starter 4 years, but he would tell you by far his best year was his fourth year. So just as he's getting good, off he goes to Tennessee. And so that's the rough part of the system as far as the team is concerned, that you develop these guys basically for someone else.
Yep, that is sometimes, unfortunately, the way it goes. We appreciate your time this afternoon, Mike. I hope you enjoy the weekend. Stay out in that patio. Catch some sunshine.
I will. I had Brian Harman in one of the pools.
Oh, very nice.
Well, no.
I know. I saw he's a +9. Yeah, that was a swing and a miss.
He, he didn't have a good morning.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think one of my picks was Spieth, so I'm right there with you. He had a quad right when they restarted action in the first round this morning. We appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much, buddy.
See you guys. All right.
All right. That is our 9 News Broncos insider, Mike Kliss. Tons of stuff to react to there. I thought it was very interesting. He said, yeah, okay, well, you know, the Broncos might not be able to move up to 4.
It is interesting.
But 7, they're just waiting, just like vultures, just circling, waiting to see who's willing to say no to J.J. McCarthy. And then here comes swooping down Shawnee P. with his talons.
Man, it's interesting because, like, 2 weeks ago, everybody was like, oh, we're going to move up, and it's just so aggressive. And now, like, the sound of Mike's voice, it just sounds like it's not going
to
happen.
Well, it's just not realistic, okay? Yeah. It's just not realistic to give up what you might have to give up to get up to 4. At least not to me, okay? But I understand where Sean Payton was coming from when he was at the Combine, and he basically, you know, belittled Ian Rapoport for his reporting that the Broncos would not have the necessary assets to move up. He's like, no, no, no. I saw what you put in there.
Yeah.
You were wrong.
That, my man.
You were wrong. But see, now, it's all about piecing together little bits and pieces of this puzzle, right? Of course, maybe conventional wisdom tells you the Broncos don't have what it takes to move up to 4 overall, which I don't believe they do, or necessarily would be willing to sacrifice. But are you telling me that if JJ, you know, slips a little, somebody comes up and says, no, I want Malik Nabers? You know, because I know we talk about quarterbacks like this, but typically the draft doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterback.
Yeah.
We think this year might be a little bit different, but there's a lot of really good football players on the board. Would it surprise me? Maybe Marvin Harrison falls a little bit. Somebody comes and swoops up to 5. Who knows? Or maybe not 5, because that's where the charge would probably take Marvin Harrison Jr. Or maybe 6. Who knows? The point is, if something that is off script happens, don't fool yourself into thinking that Sean and George and Greg won't be right there waiting to pounce if it does happen.
Ooh.
Because that's what I heard from Mike Kliss.
No, exactly what you've heard from Mike Kliss. I'm just like, we're not in Sean's head. I know Sean is aggressive.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably sick. But I know Sean can be aggressive, and if he wants something, he's going to get it. And I don't think he cares what it takes to get what he wants if he truly thinks it's going to help him fulfill and seal his legacy up. And that's win here as a Denver Bronco and go to a Super Bowl later on. So I think he's willing to give up anything, Matt.
We're going to find out.
He doesn't care about us.
13 days. 13 days away. Hey, on the other side, I was up at CU this week. Football is rolling on. Let's break down a little bit about what we can expect to see from Coach Prime's Buffs this year. It is a feel-good Friday. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye. He's just playing dad today, you know? I mean, sometimes you got to be dad.
Daddy duty, man. Daddy duty.
You got number 2 on the way, right?
I do. So I have a son right now that's 3 that's running around, driving my wife crazy, and then we have a little daughter coming.
I'm the only one driving you crazy today. You got a daughter coming, won't you?
I do, July 13th.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be summer of kids. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, it is.
Summer of being a dad. That's all right. That'll be a good time.
Fun
on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Can't trust 2T mats? I mean, come on. 1T mats lay on the front doorstep. Stop the cap. Matt from Aurora with 2Ts. Just telling you what I know. Can't trust a mat with 2Ts. You know, the second T is unnecessary. It's not Matt to Hugh. It's Matthew. That's what it is. Texter.
You know, everybody wants to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for talking about DU hockey. You got it. We cannot wait for the Bios tomorrow night in the national championship game. It is Titletown USA, and it feels good. Like, I'm sitting there.
It's big time, man. Come on. Championship?
They got the first. They got a chance to be the first program ever to win 10 national titles in hockey.
That's crazy.
That'd be pretty cool, man. No question about it. I was sitting there watching the Nuggets and the Timberwolves the other night.
Yeah.
Jokic with a 41-11-7 masterclass.
Amazing.
16 of 20 from the field. And you're just like, man, this guy's, I mean, he's banged up and he's putting up these crazy numbers. He's about to cakewalk his way to his third MVP. And of course, that's on the heels of Nathan MacKinnon lighting Ball Arena on fire with a hat trick that was just, I mean, the level he played at, okay, against Minnesota the other night was world-class stuff. He gave us an MVP moment to end the year.
Matt, how do you skate as fast as him? Like, literally, I'm watching it, And I'm, like you said, I've never really been on skates, so I don't know how it
never
is.
Never been on a boat, never been on skates.
I've been scared. Like, with the NFL, they don't let you do any of that.
Yeah. They don't let you do any of that. My man looks like he
has taken off his skates and just running on the ice with barefoot.
He's got rockets on his feet. Well, you want to know how you do it? A lot of dry land training. So that's training off the ice. And then there's power skating. It's all about getting your quads and your hamstrings and your thighs just going.
He's fast, man.
And after the games, he does his zone two workouts where he'll get on the bike for however many minutes he played, I'm pretty sure, is as much he gets on the bike, and he just gets all that lactic acid out.
I love it.
And now he's got everybody else doing it. And I think there are some other guys around the league doing it, but he is making it popular because players are looking at him and going, how are you doing that exactly?
Well, how do you become an MVP?
Right.
That's what everybody just thinks. Oh, let's just follow everything he does, but can you be as consistent? The mindset. You just got to be
Nate Dogg. The nutrition.
That was a lot to go into it. I would love to pick his brain.
It was funny. Ross Colton, who was one of the newer additions this year, traded from Tampa, okay, acquired, did a podcast, and he was saying that in Tampa, the snacks on the plane, like you'll get cookies and M&Ms and pretzels.
That's down my lane.
Yeah, not the halves. You got like chickpea, you know, rice cakes and all that other stuff. And
that's kind of how I was at Houston, Matt. Like going there before the game, usually like for Denver and for Miami, we'd have ice cream before the game, right? It was like our little nighttime snack.
Sure.
But with Houston, it was like some icy hot. What is it? Icy hot?
Icy hot?
No, the icy.
You're eating icy hot down in Houston.
Icy hot.
Maybe that's why you guys weren't any good. You poison yourself.
The icy hot bows.
Oh.
I always mess that
up. Acai bowls.
Acai bowls. I didn't know nothing about that. So the first time I seen it.
How did you say it?
I said, acai bowls.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. No, it was worse than that. It all works in my book. Did you know what he meant, like, right away?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Of course he did. Well, you work with him every day.
The listeners knew.
Acai bowls. Yeah, that's not like at night you're like, where's my acai?
No, exactly.
Yeah, where's my quinoa?
The plane ride there and back, it was all healthy. So I was always in a grouchy mood.
Yeah, well, let me get a rice cake with some crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah,
please.
Like, give me some M&Ms, please.
A Snicker bar.
Some chips. What are we doing?
Oh, man, that's good. But I was sitting there, and I'm watching the game, and I'm just in full appreciation of the fact that this is sports dopamine like we just aren't going to ever get again, okay?
No.
I mean, we've got an MVP moment one night and an MVP moment the next night. We know this isn't going to last forever, but oh my gosh, in the moment, I mean, we're firmly entrenched in both of these players' primes. They say your athletic prime is what, like 27 to 35?
Yeah.
I mean, guess what? We're there for both of these guys, just parallel, simultaneously dominating their respective sports.
We're spoiled.
Let me ask you. Would you rather have a football team that would make the playoffs but get eliminated in wild card weekend or have both MVPs in a different sport?
Tell me this. Have they already had MVPs before, or is this...
Like, oh, so you're considering this?
You gotta consider it.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like
okay.
if both the players have already had MVPs, like Jokic has already has two.
It going eases on his the third, pain, though.
It does.
It eases
like, okay,
the pain.
I know that we've seen people here with MVPs. Now let's focus on the football aspect of things.
The fall might suck, but everything else is going to be great, and all you're focused on is the fall. Okay. All right. I get it. I'm just in this moment of total appreciation of what we have going on here because, look. Not to sound like that guy, but growing up in Chicago in the height of the Jordan era, I was young, but also you had Sammy in town, you know, McGuire and Sosa with the home run race. It felt like sports, at least when I grew up in Chicago, was like, all right, we're used to winning titles. It's a fever pitch. And that was kind of my basis for what it should feel like, you know, sports-wise in one town moving forward. And when I got here, it's like, all right, the Avs are winning. You know, I got here early 2000s, you know, late 90s. Avs were winning. Nuggets were irrelevant, largely.
Nuggets weren't good.
Yeah, but the Broncos, they were dominant. I mean, they were dominant. And then, you know, had a couple of years, down years. But now we're at a point where I know that Denver, the Broncos, they're just trying to get their ducks in a row. But, man, it is hard not to appreciate what is going on and be grateful for it because it doesn't happen everywhere.
No.
I mean, there are plenty of cities across this country that'll never see, you know, one MVP in their sport, let alone two at the same time. in the same building. That's crazy.
See, that's what I was going to go at. Both of them in this building. There must be some magic in this building because both of them went off in the same building. One night and the next night the other went off.
You know what it was? They dropped that Pepsi. They dropped the Pepsi from the name of the stadium.
Pepsi, I remember Pepsi's Pepsi gross. Center.
Pepsi's gross. Now it's Ball Arena, right?
Ball Arena.
You got to get away from those Pepsi products, man. Hopefully Pepsi's not a sponsor here on the station. Oh, all right, look, we got tons to get into. There's a bunch of reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line I want to get to. Joel Klatt had some interesting things to say about J.J. McCarthy. And look, I mean, we've heard the latest report from Paul Allen. It's that Sean is... He's thirsty to get himself some JJ.
Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah, but on the other
side. Thirsty JJ. JJ.
But I teased some Buff stuff, so I want to hit that on the other side. Matt Smith in for Bye with Phil Lindsay. White gold. Plenty of that gold up there in Boulder right now. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye, Phil Lindsay. KJ behind the glass. You got a big weekend, KJ?
I do. I'm going to a wedding tomorrow.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the first one I've been to that's not my own since 2017. So.
Okay.
It's going
to
be fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good.
Run up the check. Since they wanted to run up the check on you guys.
Where is it?
Hey,
where is it?
Where is it?
Yeah.
It's going to be right over here.
Right over here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Is it like a let loose kind of a wedding, or is it more like an...
No, this is going to be one of those, like...
a little tight, little buttoned up.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you got to take care of yourself, all right?
I'm the guy at the buttoned-up wedding that's making everybody loosen the ties. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of guy I am at the buttoned-up wedding. Weddings can be fun, or they can be terrible. I feel like there's no in-between. Am I right there?
No, you know what? It's fun for the people that have to go there and watch and just dance, boogie, eat all the cake.
Yeah, that's a good time.
But it ain't fun for the bride and groom because they're the ones that have to put... I never understood this, Matt. Like, you go out there, you put on this big wedding for somebody if you have a big wedding. You're the one paying for everybody to have fun, okay, for your own wedding that you have to walk down the aisle, get married for,
yeah.
And you're worried about where everybody else is caring about with the food and the cake. It's crazy, man.
See, for me, it'd be none of that. It'd just be like, hey, this is my wedding. This is how it's going to be. You got a problem, talk to the, what's the guy? The wedding planner. Talk to the wedding planner. You don't know me. Give me a hug at the end. That's it. All right, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you both this question, actually. What would you do in this scenario? Because this is true. This happened to me a couple years ago at a wedding. Got invited to a wedding. I went solo dolo. Okay. I didn't really want to bring anybody this way. It's not that type of thing. It was like an in and out. I didn't really want to be there. Let me say that in the first place. It was more like I'll go to show support. Okay, whatever. So I go to the wedding. Like I said, I'm by myself, and there's people I know. I know a ton of people, so it wasn't like that. So I go to the wedding. Reception happens. It's nice, beautiful. You know, I do. Kiss, kiss, kiss. I love you. You know, it's great. And then afterwards, we all come out, and we're about to go to dinner, you know, and everybody's looking at the tables. Oh, you know, I got table five, table six, and here I am, table one. No, you know, I probably wouldn't be table one. All right, so maybe table 10. Let me look at table 10 and below. Table 10, no. 11, no. My name was not on the seating list.
Oh.
What do you do?
I mean, you have to give grace because...
Oh, of course. But what do you do in that scenario? Like,
where do you sit?
You see your name's not on the seating chart.
You pull up a seat.
You're by yourself.
Right next to somebody that you really know, and you just sit
That's
there.
What you would do.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do, KJ? You go. They invite you, okay? There's no reason your name shouldn't be on the seating chart, at least you think. Right? I mean, maybe they're trying to say something about me. It's like, yeah, you know, you can sit in the back row while we get married, but dinner, I'm not buying you dinner.
Hey, what? I get that. I would go sit right up there with them.
Oh, yep. Sit at the head table.
Come on, KJ. I sure would.
Sorry, I know this is your big day, but I didn't see my name on the seating chart.
Sorry, guys.
Who should I talk to about a chair? See, that's exactly what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to. It's your big day. I don't care. I mean, you didn't put a seat down for me, whatever. Now, it's not like I was out of state or I traveled for the wedding. I just drove like an hour.
So what did you do?
What do you think I did?
I'm trying to think what Matt would do. You probably left.
Dipsy doodle. Hey, out of there. Oh, yeah. Out. Yeah, I'm not going up to bride or groom and being like, hey, you know, it's your big day, I know, but I didn't see my name on the seating chart. Yeah, no, I left. Straight up left. They felt horrible afterwards. At least they said they did. They said they owe me dinner, but I still haven't got the dinner. So maybe I'm not picking up. Maybe I'm not picking up the hint here. But that's what happened. That's you got me off on the wedding, on the little wedding sidetrack. I do want to talk about the Buffs real quick because we've been teasing it now. I've been up there, Phil. Spring football firmly going on. I mean, look, a couple weeks, 13 days to the draft, but it's 15 days to the spring game. You know, America's Got Talent, the spring game edition. We got the talent show the night before.
Yeah,
got the $20,000 table prime dinner the night before.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That one was wild.
Yeah. What do you think tables ran at Coach Max
event? Oh, I don't even think he ran one. Everybody got him free.
No, he definitely didn't have one. And then, you know, the Lil Wayne concert the night after. There has actually been some interesting developments because, as we know, new offensive coordinator for Pat Shurmur.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, for how's all intents and purposes.
How's the offense looking?
Everything's looking good right now. And in fact, I'll tell you, everybody is thrilled Shurmur's there. I'm serious. Everybody is so happy he's there, and they are thrilled to do things differently. Essentially, one of the things, Phil, that I've been trying to get down to and get down to the bottom of is, look, why has Colorado, at least last year, why did they struggle to run the ball so much? That was their biggest problem offensively, in my opinion, outside of not being able to block for Shador whatsoever. First of all, not only could they not run, they didn't really try.
Yeah.
They didn't really try. There was a moment that I had with Coach Prime, I don't know, like halfway through the season, where we had asked him about running the football, and then at the end of the press conference, we're talking about the fact that Shador is getting killed, and I said, hey, look, is one of the ways you're trying to get around that running the football? And he goes, what are you talking about? Of course. He looked at me like I was stupid, and I go, okay. You know, I didn't want to get into it with him there, but they had only given running backs 11 carries each of the last 2 weeks, okay? So I was like, well, he only gave these guys 11 carries. Is that really committing to running the football? Well, I figured out why. And I'll tell you next.